Thank the Lord this morning for the presence of God in the service. Thank the Lord for the special songs and very dependent upon the presence of the Holy Spirit as we look into His Word this morning. The Lord had given me another message that I thought He would have to bring this morning. The Lord did a little U-turn since we've been here. The title I wrote on the board, titled The Alabaster Box, an event that took place in the life of Christ that was spoken for a memorial, and Jesus said that this story would be told. And I would this morning, as we look into the Word, that we would remember the sacrifice that this woman made to Christ and consider the implications of where we are this morning. Over in the 14th chapter of Mark, we'll begin reading. Scripture says, after 2 days was the feast of the Passover, and of unleavened bread, and the chief priest and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor, and they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good, but me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She is come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of her, a memorial of her. There came a woman, and there is some confusion sometimes. There is a very similar incident found over in John in the 12th chapter. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother, the sister of Lazarus, was accounted as coming to Christ and anointing the feet of Jesus, as you remember, and drying His feet with her hair. This was, from what I understand and have read, this was a separate instance. It took place at a different time. And Mark was very careful, as this is accounted in Matthew as well, they were very careful about naming out the people and giving the lineage, because to the Jews, they wanted to know who did what. And so most likely this was not the account found in the 12th chapter of Luke. But the point is that a lady, the sister, came to Jesus, and she had an alabaster box. And that box contained something that was very costly. It was not something that was cheap. It was not the leftovers. It was not something that she didn't care a whole lot about anyway. But she took something that had great value. And she brought that to Jesus. And that spikenard was a perfume that was made from a plant that came from the East Indies. Very costly. The scripture here said it was precious. It was unadulterated. I have some cologne. I think it cost probably about $3. It wasn't very precious. It's the kind you buy at the dollar store, and it's imitation. In other words, if you want to buy the real stuff, some perfume I was looking for one time, and I was actually finally found it in Africa. And it was over, the bottle of it was $100 to $150. I love my wife, but I had to let it go. I finally found it. I came home and tried to find it, and no one sells it that I could find it in the United States. Because it was costly. Because it was precious. It was unadulterated. There are a lot of things that we possess that are cheap because they've been watered down. This ointment, this perfume that this woman had was costly. It was not watered down. It was not imitation. It was not something that she was trying to give to Jesus, that I have some more of it where that came from. I have some more in the closet at home. She gave what she had and she poured it all out on the Savior. It said here that she broke the box. In other words, the perfume in this alabaster box was sealed with wax so as it wouldn't be spilled out accidentally. It was costly and it was sealed up. And she came and it said she broke the box. In other words, she opened it up. And she poured it out on the Savior. Do you realize that that ointment could have benefited this lady in another way? This lady could have taken that perfume and she could have gone and sold it. And there are some that debate on the cost, but we know it was a value. There are some that say that it was as much as a year's wages. Now, I don't know how much money you make in a year. But I would say take any working person, even at minimum wage. Would you want to spend that whole amount, a year's wages, on some perfume and then go and just spill it out? The least you could do is go sell it, or maybe even if you wore it and people would get a whiff of you as you walk by and think, wow, this is someone that has something that's costly. If people would take note, she could have worn it. Even if she didn't sell it, she could have worn it herself. And I'll tell you what, she wouldn't have... Those of you, you use cologne perfume, you just pour it out every once in a while someone walks by and that's what it smells like. It's like they pour out the whole thing. But generally, you don't do that, do you? Because especially if it's costly. And you know, when something is pure, it doesn't take very much. If something is pure and unadulterated, it just takes a few drops for that smell to begin to, that aroma to begin to fill the room. This woman took what was costly and unadulterated and she poured it all out on her Savior. A year's worth of wages poured out on the Savior. And the people looking on, they shook their head in indignation. What a waste. You could have at least... Oh, think about the guilt trip that people put in when it comes to sacrifice. You could have fed the poor. You could have gone somewhere else that it was needed more. You see, people have ideas about how we should sacrifice this morning. People have ideas about how we should spend our time and our money. But this lady took what she had and she poured it out on the Savior. And others stood back and they talked behind, you know, their hands. And, oh, look at the, what a waste this lady. Use this up. And Jesus looked on him and he knew what their thoughts were. And he said, she hath wrought a good work. Her sacrifice is not in vain. It was a foreshadowing of the cross and of the death of Christ. His body was going, he was going to die, and it was a foreshadowing of that embalming of the body. And he said, this will be spoken as a memorial. He looked on her and he said, she hath done what she could. This lady may not have had the ability to go out and talk to everybody on the street and tell them of her Lord. She may not have had the education or the ability to go off to distant lands and do things for her Savior. But she took what she had. She took what she had of value and she came to her Lord. And in an act of supreme worship, she poured it out on her Savior. And Jesus said, don't criticize her. Because she has done what she could. She has given all that she can. It was a token of highest respect. And I think it's noteworthy this morning that what people criticize in sacrifice, what people tend to criticize in what people do for God, the Lord turned around and he esteemed it highly. They said, look, she's wasting it. And God said, I'm going to remember what she's done until the end of this earth. Everywhere the gospel is preached, this story is going to be told. And it behooves us this morning, where the gospel is preached, to still tell the story of this woman and came and poured out what she had on her Lord. What motivated this woman to do that? Was it peer pressure? She actually was receiving opposition to pouring everything that she had out to her Lord. There was opposition to that. There would be those that said, if you're going to anoint him, just dab a few drops on him. Don't pour it all out. You can still worship God and you don't have to give everything that you have. Folks, the question for us this morning is, have we poured everything out from our alabaster box to our Lord? Have we taken all of value, everything that we have our affections on, all the things that are in our box this morning, have we opened it up and broken the seal and come before the Lord and say, Lord, I just pour it all out. And others may say, you don't have to give it all. You don't have to do that for the Lord. But folks, supreme worship to the Lord is an act of love. This woman was not obligated to come and pour out that spikenard on Jesus. But she did it because she loved the Lord. And this is all I can do, but if that's all I can do, I'm going to do it with all that I possess. This morning, there is a deficiency in the sacrifice that God's people are making to the Savior. There is a deficiency of many people's lives that too often people come to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm willing to give you this. But yet they're reserving something in their box that they value. They're not coming to the Lord and saying, Lord, I place myself on the altar and I give you my all. Folks, God is worshiped this morning when we come and break open the box. Open up our heart and just pour it all out on the Savior. So have we opened up our box and poured it out? The ointment for us this morning, it represents, to me personally, it represents everything that we are. Everything that means something to me. My personality and my strengths and my weaknesses. That's who I am. The things I can do and the things that I'm not very good at doing. The things that have been important to me. The things that I enjoy doing. It comes down when I consider my alabaster box this morning. It has to do with my love. It has to do with the attitudes that I have. It has to do with how far am I willing to go for my Lord. And the Lord is asking this morning, take note of the example that was set before us. It's not enough today for us to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I'll go so far. If we are only willing to go so far, God's blessings will only reach so far in our lives as well. We come to services and we go home through the week and people say, where is the anointing of the Holy Spirit? I'll tell you where the anointing of the Holy Spirit is found. It is found in acts of supreme worship to the Savior. And we only worship God when we pour out our whole heart and say, Lord, this is who I am and where I am, and I give it all to you. Take it and use it as you will, Lord, and just pour it all out without holding back. Without reserve, folks, that is what honors and lifts up our Savior today. But it's not enough then for us to come, and I mentioned it the other night, but Lord help us, it's not enough for us to come and feel warm in our community of saints. It's not enough for us to come and think I've been a good person. The question is, have we come this morning in an act of total worship to our Lord and say, Lord, I just pour everything out to you. The things that I've enjoyed, the things that I like, my job, my material things, my family, all of the things that make me who I am. Lord, I just pour it out this morning. Oh, dear ones, the Lord will bless your life in a richer way, a way that maybe you've never experienced if we will come and follow the example of the sister here that poured it all out. Because this morning, we all have an alabaster box. Each of one of us today has an alabaster box that the Lord would be honored if we would choose to come and open up our box to the Lord. What's in your alabaster box this morning? What's in it? You know, inside there's all kinds of things. But before you can pour it out, it has to be broken. Before you pour it out, the seal has to be broken. We must become vulnerable to our Lord. It's wonderful in marriage when you can be vulnerable with your husband or wife. You know, God intended that to be. But you can only be vulnerable with someone that you trust. And if you don't trust somebody, you can't just open yourself up on every line. And there's a lot of marriages where there's a lack of vulnerability. And I will say there is a lack of blessing in the marriage then. God blesses companionship where there is mutual trust and mutual love and being able to be ourself with our companion, to share our hopes and our dreams and our fears and our failures and know that they still love me. This morning, before we can pour out to our Lord to honor and worship Him, there's going to have to be a brokenness that comes in our heart that we're not any longer have any desire to hide or cover up anything from the Lord. Lord, here I am. This is what I have. This is what I possess. These are my problems. And you know, that takes humility. Who of us here would really like everything in our life and in our past to be exposed? Just to make a list up here of all your weaknesses. All the places you stumble. All the places that what makes you... There are some things that we might be okay with, and there are other things we want to exit. But do you know, if we want to worship God acceptably, we're going to have to humble our heart and say, Lord, here I am. Not covering anything. I'm not hiding anything. I'm not trying to justify anything. But Lord, I want to honor you and worship you. And so I give you what I am. What you have this morning is valuable to the Lord. I want to speak especially for a moment to the young people. What you young people have is something that nobody else has to offer. You are unique in your relationship with God. And there is something that you have to offer to the Lord that nobody else can offer. And it's not right. It's not good enough for me to sit back. And we can sit back and feel inferior and think I just don't really have anything that the Lord wants. Folks, what the Lord wants is our heart. What the Lord wants is us to come and open up our box and just pour it out and say, Lord, this is what I have and I give it all to you. Do you remember the story of the Pharisee and the publican that went in the synagogue to pray? And the Pharisee went in and he looked at the publican, the sinner man, and he said, Lord, I thank you that I am not as this publican. Because I fast thrice in a week and I give of all my goods and I pray and I do all these good things and I'm not an adulterer, I'm not a fornicator, and I'm such a good person. Father. That man went home and the father was not worshipped. But the publican, it said, he barely could not even lift his eyes up into heaven. And he said he smote on his breast. And he said, Father, he said, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said that man went home justified. He went home with a transformation that had taken place in his life, not because of his goodness, but because he was willing to come and open up his heart and say, Lord, here I am. Which aroma filled that room? It was the aroma of the humility and the offering
of this is where I am, Lord. And the Lord is able to take everything that we pour out and it lifts him up. Folks, that is supreme worship this morning. And I ask you in love, have you poured out your alabaster box? Have you had that experience and maintaining it to where everything that you are, everything you possess has just been poured out? You see, when we pour everything out, folks, the Lord values it. And the Lord is not twisting anybody's arm to open our alabaster box. You see, this woman came to Jesus and she voluntarily offered her sacrifice. And I want to remind us this morning that worshiping and serving God should never be about peer pressure. We talk about peer pressure of the world, but folks, there is peer pressure from the saints too. It is a good thing to be challenged by other saints of God. That is a good thing. But I want us to know that the sacrifice that is acceptable to God is when I come voluntarily, not because of what everybody else is saying or thinking about me, but when I come in an act of voluntary love to my Lord and say, Lord, I'm just going to pour it all out. That is true worship. That is where we will find victory in our personal walk with God. That is where you will find a greater anointing on your daily life. See, sometimes people think about anointing and they just couple it with what's going on behind the pulpit. Anointing is the approval and presence of God. I've heard people say we can manipulate anointing, and I disagree with that. We can manipulate emotion. We cannot manipulate the presence of God. God wants to anoint all of our lives here today in a greater way. But he can only do it as we come and pour ourselves out in worship. You remember Ananias and Sapphira? There were other saints. Other of God's people were selling their property and coming and giving all of the money to the work of God. And you know, there's a sense of satisfaction in doing that, isn't there? I sold it and I gave it all. Ananias and Sapphira, they wanted to do that too, but they didn't want to give it all. And they sold their land and they came and it said that he gave some of it, but he withheld a part of it. And you remember, he fell over dead. And it was because he had lied to the Holy Spirit. In other words, it doesn't matter what everybody else thinks about you now. It doesn't matter if you have my approval or not this morning. But the Lord knows where our alabaster box is. And he knows if we have really come and poured out our dreams and our hopes and our plans and our purposes and yes, our failures of the past. The Lord knows if we've come and poured it all out. And it means a lot more to the Lord when he looks on and says there's an honest heart than for us to get up and say, I've given it all to the Lord. Folks, if we lie against the Holy Spirit, we are going to be absent of the anointing and presence of God in our life. And we can go on and still have a form of godliness because we can still be good people. We can still have a profession, but we have lost the fire that burns. Folks, the fire burns when we have poured out our sacrifice and kept it on the altar. And Ananias and Sapphira, they didn't even have to give all of their money. They could have come to the Lord and said, we sold our land and we want to give part of it. He would have said, well, thank you for that. I appreciate that. You know, the Lord is not forcing any of us this morning to make this kind of sacrifice. The Lord is not twisting our arms today to give everything into the hands of God. Because the Lord is only interested in voluntary worship. And voluntary worship means that the motivation is not peer pressure. What prompts us to live like we live and do what we do and not do what we don't do is not about what everybody else thinks. True worship is when we live like we live because I've come and poured it all out to the Savior. And my utmost goal and purpose of life is to please my Lord. And the Lord can look on and say, she's done what she could. She has done a good thing. And other people look on and they say, what a waste. When you give your time to the work of God, you are not wasting your time. When you give up material things and comforts of this life to see the work of God prosper, you are not wasting your money. When you give up position and you give up career and you give up the recognition of this life, you are not wasting your money. And the world looks on and says, oh, what a waste. There are more valuable things that you could have done with that. There is nothing more valuable than this morning than you coming and pouring out your life in the service of God. There is nothing more valuable than someone that comes and says, Lord, everything I have, it's for you, Lord. And I give it all. However you want it, Lord, it's yours. And the world says, what a waste. Are you willing this morning to stand in the face of the world and family and friends and sometimes from people right in the congregation? Are you willing to come and give it all to God and let Him use it like He wants? Or do we feel the pressure of the world saying, just dab a little bit. Give a little bit to the Lord. That if I come and pour it out because of my love, there is no greater worship that we can give to the Lord than that. That's why this woman came and anointed Him. It was because of love. And if you are trying to serve God this morning for any other reason than the love and devotion that you have for our Lord, you're not going to find the real peace and happiness that there is in a relationship with God. Same way with marriage. You can do the right things and you can provide for your wife and you can just be sure and say, well, what am I doing wrong? I'm giving you what you need and I'm not being unkind and I don't kick the dog and I don't beat you and I don't do, and I'm a good person. I just follow the rules of what a good husband does. But what makes a true marriage? It's when those good things are prompted by love. I choose you because I want you. And I'm willing then to make sacrifices, not because I have to, but because it brings happiness when I come and I sacrifice for your benefit. Folks, our relationship with God today is the same way. And I fear that we are living in a time that some people are too caught up in a traditionalist lifestyle but have missed the motivating power of love that prompts true sacrifice. True worship is not negating the good and the right principles and doctrines that we hold dear as a people. But without the willful choosing to pour ourselves out in total consecration to what the purpose and desire of the Lord, folks, we're going to miss the anointing and effectual working power of God in our life. So the question then is tonight, this morning, have we done what we could? You see, I can't do what you can do this morning. Because you have a special box with special things in it. And I can't fill the place that you fill. I can't minister to the same people that you minister to. I don't work with the same people you work with. This is not about being in competition. This is not about trying to outdo or outgive my brother and sister in the Lord. This is about coming to the Lord because of our love and saying, Lord, I just pour it out to you. Everything that I have, that was this woman's eulogy. When this woman died, do you know what a beautiful eulogy she would have had? She loved her Lord and she poured it all out. This morning, when you die, what will your eulogy say? You know, eulogies, usually if people are honest, and I find sometimes families aren't always honest. Not always. But usually a eulogy reflects the values of the one that has passed on. And I wonder this morning, if you had an honest eulogy written about you, what would be reflected in your eulogy? Would you value, would it be clear to everyone, but most of all to the Lord? See, that's what's important, that they love the Lord with all of their heart. Whatever place that you fill, they gave it 100% and they poured it all out. This morning, if you have not poured out your alabaster box to the Lord, He's not going to force you. He's not going to twist your arm. He doesn't want you to do it just because of pressure. But I want you to know that the place of worship, the place of anointing, is found when we open our box up, open up our heart unreservedly, and just pour it out to the Lord. And it may be this morning that you have done that in life. But as you reflect on your alabaster box today, maybe you look in the bottom of the box, that flask, and you see that there's still just a little bit left that you've been holding back, or maybe you didn't even realize it was there. The Lord is asking, is there anybody out of your love today that would come and just turn it upside down and give the rest to Him? Unreservedly pouring out our heart to the Lord in a total, complete consecration. Amen.